antimatter atoms, the stuff of Star Trek, are now officially available in bulk. Scientists announced this week that for the first time, they've been able to methodically assemble tens of thousands of antimatter versions of hydrogen atoms. The researchers say they'll soon be able to poke and prod these strange creations and put some fundamental laws of physics to the test. Joining me now is NPR science correspondent David Kestenbaum. David, you know that the first question has to be, what is antimatter?
Well, you know, fortunately, I've brought some antimatter here in the studio. No, I don't have it. It's actually very hard to make, but it is real. We'll start with this. The world is made up of tiny particles, right? Like atoms, and inside the atoms are things called electrons and protons. And around 1930, a physicist named Paul Dirac was looking at his equations, and he realized it was possible for there to be an entire mirror set of particles with opposite properties than the ones we normally have. So, an electron has a negative electric charge, and an anti-electron would look the same, only it's got a positive electric charge. And it turns out that this crazy idea was actually right. You can make antiparticles in the lab. It's just, it's hard. Physicists have been doing it for decades now, though, and the problem is they don't hang around very long. When antimatter runs into matter, they go poof.
So why are scientists so excited about what they announced this week? They've been able to make large quantities of something with the opposite properties of matter.
Right. They've made it in large quantities this time, and they've actually made it in a trap. So in theory, you could hold on to it and study it. Although it turns out once they make these atoms, they escape and destroy themselves. So there's a little further to go here. But what they've done is they've made an anti-hydrogen atom, and hydrogen is the simplest atom there is. It's a proton with an electron orbiting around it, like the solar system. And an anti-hydrogen atom is an antiproton with an anti-electron around it. So what they want to do is study this thing. You drop a ball and it falls down. What happens if you drop an anti-ball or an anti-atom? Does it fall up? That's one of the questions they'd like to answer. And they want to see if this atom looks the same as a regular hydrogen atom. Are the electrons in the same orbits, in the same positions? The laws of physics say they should be, but no one's been able to test these things, at least not with the precision they'd like.
So they're excited because they have an opportunity to study this more than they have been able to in the past.
Yeah, they've made anti-hydrogen atoms before, but they made them going almost at the speed of light. They smashed into something and disappeared immediately. So these were made almost sort of at rest, almost sitting still. So, you know, that's a step closer to being able to really take a look at them.
Is antimatter good for anything besides this experimentation? Does it have any practical use?
Actually, unlike so many other things in scientific research, it does have a practical application. It's used in hospitals in things called PET scans, where they'll image your brain or your heart. It turns out that some radioactive atoms, when they decay, throw off an anti-electron. So what they do in the hospital is they'll inject you with these radioactive atoms, and when the anti-electron comes out, it hits something in your body and goes poof. And out of the poof come these two gamma rays, which are like X-rays. And then the scanner detects those X-rays, and they can tell where they came from, and they map out your insides. Antimatter has also been discussed as a possible rocket fuel, since when you combine matter and antimatter, you get a lot of energy out. But it's very hard to make and hold on to. And I think in the entire history of physics research, scientists have made less than a paperclip's worth of antimatter.
So does antimatter matter more than matter?
Yes, because there's less of it, and therefore it costs more.
All right. David, thank you.
You're welcome.
NPR science correspondent David Kestenbaum. The antimatter research appears in the journal Nature this week.